Our text is the gospel for today from the 7th chapter of Mark. In Jesus' name, amen. Clean hands are important. We expect any restaurant to provide at least a place where customers can wash his or her hands. Hand sanitizers are popping up everywhere, including in the sanctuary here. Employers have strict policy about clean hands. And yet, who's to tell if our hands are really clean? Scientists, doctors, teachers, parents, employers? Sight, smell, taste? There are actually those who argue that we have made our world so clean that children are growing up unhealthy, unable to resist horrible microbes. All of this pales to unimportance when we compare it to the question of a clean heart. The contrast between the end of Mark 6, the beginning of Mark 7, where our text is just remarkable. I mean, if you heard the gospel lesson last week and you were aware of all of that, you knew that, boy, everybody was just flocking to Jesus. Jesus was tremendously popular, able to heal all sorts and various kinds of diseases. It seemed like he healed everyone they brought to him. And then, this week, we have this conversation with the Pharisees. All that contagious excitement diminishes to a grilling, questioning, testing time. Why, those Pharisees and scribes, they saw that Jesus' disciples washed with unclean hands. Well, it doesn't mean that they just didn't wash before dinner. It meant that they didn't obey all the rules for ritual cleanness. And so the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Now, if you and I had a one-on-one with Jesus, I'm sure our number one question would not be an argument about how you clean up before a meal. And it was not a matter of the disciples washing their hands, but doing it ritually to meet the Pharisees' standard. And see, Jesus' opponents seem to have completely lost sight of what really matters before God. The way that they ask their question suggests that the root of the problem isn't that they've begun to, confuse God's word. The problem is they're beginning to put human traditions above what God's word asks. What's important in their eyes is more important than what's in God's eyes. Our initial sympathy toward the disciples' concern really goes right down the tube when we've begun to see the real problem here. You know, when I was a child and I wanted to pass the, bath inspection, I knew my mother wasn't going to look at the obvious places to clean. She wanted to check behind the ears, in between the toes. And our Lord reminds his questioners, they still need to learn this lesson of knowing when they're really clean. You see, centuries before, through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord had tried to teach Israel to check for true cleanliness by checking the condition of the heart or their will. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." We make the same mistake that they were making if we miss the very important way Jesus introduces this question. "Well did the prophet Isaiah prophesy of you." And right after this, Jesus speaks about the commandments that God gave through Moses and how these ancient words of God should be shaping the lives and shaping the thoughts of his hearers. The Pharisees were more concerned about whether people's hands were ritually clean rather than their bodies cleansed from sin by the word of God, and that they had the peace of God given to them that Jesus was proclaiming. And that's exactly what happens with us when we stop asking what's important to God. You've heard the expression lip service. We pretty well all know what it means. But did you know that that phrase lip service comes from this passage of Jesus and from Isaiah? Well, at least according to Brewer's Dictionary of Phrases. No one is impressed by an outward profession that is completely void of any real attitude and action. Here we might think of close lips and distant hearts. Probably all of you have had the experience of someone that you know inwardly is totally against us, totally against everything we stand for. And then they come up and they greet you very friendly, maybe with a handshake, a hug, or a kiss. You kind of think of Judas and the betrayal of Jesus. Was ever a heart farther from the lips? But we better not answer too quickly. If Isaiah's words are prophesied about us, and Jesus' warnings speak to us, we had better examine our own lips and our heads and our hearts and see how we're doing. How have we lost sight of what's really important? What traditions of men, traditions of our own, have we let crowd out God's word from its proper place as the word that demands our total obedience? In ways, we have, perhaps, ceased to be concerned about those around us. How many times have we been more concerned about the traditions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod than ready to listen to what God is calling us to believe? How many times are we more concerned about the manner of worship than we are about the call of God for us to study his word? How many times do buildings and building programs command more dollars than acts of mercy? And how many times is reading a book about outreach more important than speaking to someone who does not yet believe in Jesus? The proof of the pudding is in the eating, whether your hands are washed or not. The wrongness of the Pharisees' approach is shown in the behavior that results. Replacing God's word with man's, listening to human traditions that establish themselves at the cost of the honor due God's word, results in a life that is only lived toward self. Our Lord points to one of our most fundamental relationships to make this clear. Jesus said to them, "You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If a man tells his father or mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban, that is given to God,' then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do." See, when our own voices and no other guide us, When our hearts are filled with self and far from God, then those that are dearest to us will suffer. Instead of gratitude, honor, obedience, and love toward those who have endured pain and deprivation to give us life, we look for excuses and loopholes so we can be free of the burden of having to take care of our parents. Though the particulars of this example may be very hard for us to get into for today and reconstruct, Jesus' concluding words, and many such things, shows us that that's just one of many examples of which we often put our traditions in front of what God demands. Or just think of the images and the definitions of marriage in our world today, and the picture of marriage that our epistle, written by St. Paul, gives to us. It's a long list. Our hands may be clean, but are our hearts? Human traditions may set standards of outward cleanliness, but they can never make us clean within. Jesus points to the true source of the Pharisees' uncleanness because he wants to make them clean. This is clearly demonstrated in what you're going to hear next week in the gospel lesson with the casting out of unclean spirits. Jesus draws our attention away from human traditions which cannot save us and focuses on God's word which can save us, which can make us clean. God's word spoken to us and for us to expose the dirt behind the ear, the dirt we've been hiding in hope that no one would see, the dirt that makes our eyes blind to the needs of those around us, the dirt that clogs our hearts and shuts them down, the dirt that kills. He doesn't say it just so he can say to all of us, "Look, you're dirty." Rather, he is speaking that word to call us from human tradition to God's word, his precious voice that declares us forgiven, clean, renewed, that calls us saints. It's a word that is spoken to us so that he can say by his death on the cross, "Come to me, and I will make you clean." In Jesus' name, amen.